This is Sherlyn Pang Ludke, founder of Present Parent Training, and I am on the line with Cabral Sharp, who is a highly successful entrepreneur. He's the founder and CEO of InterAccess, a leading-edge coaching and training company. He's also a dedicated husband and father. Cabral, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with me.
Oh, my pleasure, Sherlyn. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, and I really acknowledge and appreciate your time and your willingness to share your success as a businessman and as a parent. So let's get right into this, because as we draw information from highly successful people who are great in business and great as parents, there's a lot to learn with regard to how they apply success principles in their lives. So we're looking for some juicy clues from you about success.
Well, bring it on. I'll give you what I got.
All right, super. So, Cabral, just to get started, you know, as you think about the success principles that you've applied in your life, what would you consider to be your top three success principles for parenting, and then your top three success principles for business? And if they overlap, that's fine. But what would you consider your top three success principles for parenting and then for business?
Well, I'm going to start with parenting first. I'll just kind of go with what comes to mind. And the most immediate thing, I think, is to empower the child in every way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that means nourishment, it means training, it means discipline, it means love, it means play. But if you just hold empowerment as the main intention for everything that you do with your child, I find that it's much easier to have balance. And when you're wavering back and forth and trying to figure out what's the best course of action, if you just return back to that, it'll let you know what's the best decision to make with each unique situation. So I would definitely say empowerment as the first thing. The other one is, and this one definitely overlaps with business as well, is the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, even though kids are younger than us and may not have as much life experience, they're no less important than we are as beings on this planet. And so in order to have sensitivity to that, so you just don't get in a place where you're talking at them instead of talking to them, even though sometimes we can all, you know, slip into that from time to time, I think it's important to remember that these are indeed beings that deserve to be treated the same way that we would want to be treated. And if you're aware of that, then I find that it naturally gives you more patience.
Yes, that's a great.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges with any parent, especially a parent who's a business person or entrepreneur, just because of the increased level of responsibility and things on their plate. That's another concept that I look to return to as often as possible. I'm not always 100%. I do fall off course with it, but I find that how would I want my father to talk to me if I were in this situation? Then I'm able to be a lot more gentle and then still stern if I need to, but again, just balanced and more aware of what's going on from the child's standpoint.
Great.
And if I had to do a third empowerment principle or a third concept that I would say would be most important with regards to raising a child or children, it would be to continually develop myself.
Oh, great.
And the reason why is because one of the golden rules of relationships, so to speak, is whatever it is you want, you got to be, do, have, and give first. First to yourself, and then first you must give it to the other person without expecting them to give it to you, and then you'll reciprocate. Mm-hmm. And I think with regards to a child, what we say is one thing, but what we do and how we live and how we're being is another. And if you're always evolving and improving and expanding, then they're going to model that. And even though, you know, they'll see when you make a mistake and you make an adjustment and you correct and continue, as you expand as a person, you have no choice but to naturally also expand as a parent.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And if that's just a way of life for you, then not only will your relationship with the child continue to deepen, but you'll always be able to support them with going to higher levels in their life as well, because you've been able to model that. So I would say those would be the three biggest ones.
Yeah,
so empowerment,
yes.
The golden rule, and having that kind of sensitivity to the child from their standpoint, as well as constantly expanding and developing yourself.
Yeah.
That's with the parenting.
Fantastic.
With regards to business, the first concept I would say is always look to provide greater value.
Hmm.
Okay? Always look to provide greater value. No matter what it is you're doing, you know, everything that we're up to, any product, concept, service, it really is about serving.
Yeah.
And a lot of people forget about that because they get so wrapped up in the dollars. But if you really, truly serve at the deepest level and you continue to expand so that you look to see all the different ways that you can provide the greatest amount of value through whatever vehicle you're using,
mm-hmm.
Then the dollars and the profits and revenue and all that stuff will just tend to naturally, you know, come with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people reverse the order.
Yes.
And because of that, they end up chasing dollars instead of, you know, really focusing on truly making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in focusing on making a difference and fine-tuning that that you're not only the most fulfilled, but you end up being the most profitable. So I'd say that's the first thing with business.
Wonderful.
The other thing I would say with business is to harness your unique talents and gifts.
Okay. I love that word, harness, yes.
Well, a lot of people, when they're looking at businesses, again, it's like, you know, so many people's first thing that they go after when you're talking about business is what will make money, what will make money.
Mm-hmm.
And profit is important, absolutely, but every business has to have the right foundation. And so if you start from a place of doing what speaks to you, doing what calls to you, doing what lights up your spirit, then you are naturally going to be able to not only provide better service, but you're going to so enjoy the entire process of giving that service a lot more. And it'll be easier for you to work hard, to enjoy the process,
mm-hmm.
and to continually, you know, fine-tune your skills and your ability to do that.
Yes.
The other one that I would say, the last one, probably overlaps with the parenting piece, which is to continually expand and grow. You know, like
mm-hmm.
I said, those two overlap.
Yes.
And the reason why it overlaps in business is because, you know, the world is changing at an alarming rate. It's always growing, and we're moving at dizzying speeds with the kinds of technologies that are coming out and the different studies and all these different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important to keep up as well as go above and beyond what you have already done. Because if you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, even if it's working well, most likely it'll get stagnant. And so...
Mm-hmm.
You always want to stay on the cutting edge. Even if you keep the same niche, you can again, serve more effectively and provide greater value if you're constantly studying.
Yes.
And so that's what I would say would be the third one. So
that
one, we're saying continually expand, provide value and have that as a main focus,
mm-hmm.
and to definitely start by focusing and using your unique gifts.
Yeah, I think those are tremendous, tremendous ways to approach business. And also just recognizing that we're continually able to to serve better, to parent better, to be more successful as we continually expand and grow. And I can see how that'd be so significant in and not just parenting, not just business, but in every area of our lives. So thank you. Yeah, that's excellent in terms of, you know, what you would advise. Now, with regard to success in business and success in parenting, oftentimes most dads fail to have both. And so I would ask, how are you able to have success in both business and parenting and relationships and home life? And how do you create that for yourself?
Sure. It's a great question, Sherlyn, because, you know, the majority of dads who are in business, they really do tend to have, like a lopsided result. It's either the business is going really well and the home life, you know, might be decent, but it's not getting a lot of attention, or the other way around.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, success leaves clues. They're patterns of success. And even though most people tend to have one or the other, if you study the individuals or the fathers who have both and do really well in both arenas, they actually understand that the more solid the family life is, the easier it'll be for them to have explosive growth in the business.
Mm. Great.
And, you know, I guess I've just been fortunate because I noticed that pattern and I have modeled it from a very, you know, young age. And, you know, it just has never steered me wrong. And you know, it extends to my relationship with my wife as well. It's just like there's a saying that goes, no success in the outer world can make up for failure in the home.
Mm.
And see, relationships are responsible for 85% of our happiness or unhappiness in life.
Yes.
And the family is a core relationship.
Yes.
And if there's unhappiness in that core relationship, then that energy will tend to rub off on you or affect your mood, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a lower unhappy state, that's not an abundant vibration that you're bringing to your business.
Huh. Yeah.
And so, you know, we are energy. We are living energy. Like attracts like. So if you want to attract abundance in your organization, you need to constantly, keyword, not just sometimes, constantly be mm-hmm. in a vibration of abundance. And the more harmony there is in your relationships, you know, with your family, the more you're going to have that up vibration. So I have actually made it an absolute priority to make sure that is always given the proper amount of attention. Again, like, it doesn't mean I don't fall off course. I do. But I have my coaches and other people to help me stay on point with giving that the necessary attention, because I understand the ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've also seen that demonstrated myself. Like, if there's tension with myself and my son, it can so affect, like, how I am in the business. And yet, the more flow there is, the more the business just continues to grow and grow and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so as part of my weekly routine, I actually have, as part of my commitments that I, you know, set up with my coach every week, you know, certain chunks of time with family and my son
okay.
in order to make sure that gets in. And so by scheduling it and making it an absolute priority and understanding that it's so related to the success of the business, it's easier to make sure that it happens.
That is a wonderful practical strategy to really understand that they go hand in hand and support each other as opposed to it being an either or choice. Because many times, you know, it's looked at as an either-or situation, but you're creating both, again, using another success principle, and then time management practical strategies to make that happen. Fantastic. Just in general, in your opinion, what would you say makes a great business person?
Well, there are several things. I think it begins with a vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like once you're clear that you know, you want to serve, and once you have made the decision that you're basically not going to give up, because it really takes that kind of resolve in order to have a business, because,
yes,
you know, at certain points it can feel very lonely. You know, you're not, someone's not looking over your shoulder in the same way as when you have a job, so to speak. So it takes a certain kind of independence.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've decided that you're going to do it, and you have claimed that you will have that kind of independence, I think you have to have a vision for, you know, how, again, you want to serve and contribute.
Yes.
And if it speaks to your spirit, if it's something that you're passionate about, it's easier to stay the course and to make all the necessary adjustments that you have to all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it absolutely has to be something that you're passionate about, and ideally something that you can see how it's going to better other people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, that to me, that has to be the root. Because if you come from there, even if you make mistakes, and which you will, and even when you're making the adjustments, it's like people get the difference between someone who is very much about bettering their lives rather than someone who just wants to make a hot buck. And it's like, if you look at the people that are the most profitable in business, they really make the biggest difference with bettering other people's lives.
You know?
So, I would say that's the biggest thing, because ultimately, whatever business you're in, you are a problem solver in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So a great business person really has the foundation of having a vision for their service, and it would be something they're passionate about so that they can make that decision, have the resolve to really follow it through, and then make adjustments along the way. And with that, that's a very sound formula for being able to have success in that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And whatever that is, it's got to make other people's lives better.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Now, shifting that up a little bit for parenting, because in a sense, parenting has leadership responsibilities. It's almost like, you know, you've got a whole array of strategies and skills that go into parenting. What would you say makes a great parent?
That's a great question. What makes a great parent? I think the true love of the child and you having the intention to be a great parent, and kind of similarly, this piece, be willing to learn and grow and be vulnerable and to expand into that role, you know, because, you know, parenting for the most part doesn't have a manual. I mean, you can study, et cetera, but like you're going to have to grow as a person in order to really be able to be a wonderful parent. And, you know, sometimes you're going to fall on your face, and sometimes you're going to look bad, and sometimes you're going to really question, you know, was this the right decision? But if it all stems from the intention to, again, really empower the child, and you have made that decision, then all along the way, you keep returning back to that. And, you know, more often than not, you're going to make decisions that are in alignment with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that ultimately will benefit the child in the best ways, you know, that they'll, again, the child can feel when the parent is really focused on being the best parent that they can be for that individual, you know.
That's nice. In
itself, just making that decision energetically has a huge impact on the child, even without anything being said to them, like, Daddy's going to be a good daddy for you. No, but if you just hold that, you know, let me be a great dad for my son. You know, what else can I do? Constantly asking yourself questions, you know, how can I best support my child in this situation? What would be the best way to, you know, be able to teach them this lesson and make it fun? You know, how could this be the most productive? I mean, you're constantly asking questions to get the best out of yourself and to, you know, again, to best serve.
Excellent. Yeah, it's, there is no owner's manual for kids. And by just setting that intention does cause a shift. You know, most people just parent from how they were shown to be parents by their own parents or aunties, uncles, people who raised them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And as far as the you know, the manual on kids, you know, we're waiting for you to get that out, Shirley. We need your expertise on this one because this is not an area that's covered too often. So it's great what you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I'm just, you know, happy to share all the things that I am learning through these interviews. And so just in general, focusing on parenting a little bit, how would you describe your experience of parenthood?
Very humbling.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, you know, it's been absolutely incredible. I mean, it's a little difficult to put in words because even though I always knew that I wanted to have, have a child or children, it really scared me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was one of those people who absolutely had to wait till the perfect time for everything to be in alignment, you know, like financially and this and that and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, all my ducks in a row before we had, you know, our first child.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I still was like, ooh, I don't know, because I had a fear that I was going to, you know, not be able to be as successful in the other areas of my life, including business. Like, oh, you know, I'm a dad now. I'm not going to have any time to be a successful business person, or I'm not going to see my friends in the same way. I'm not going to be able to do hobbies I love. And that really scared me because initially my association to having a child was like, you know, loss of freedom to some extent, even though there was a lot of joy, you know, that I knew would come from it too. So there was some conflicting feelings.
Yes.
Yet as I've had, you know, my son who's about to turn 4, in a few days, it's been incredible because I not only have expanded and been able to give more of myself in having a child, but every single other area that I was worried about losing in has absolutely blossomed.
Nice.
And so like, you know, the greatest growth in my business has come after I had a child, you know.
Okay.
Some of the most wonderful accomplishments outside of the business have come after having a child. The level that my marriage is at has gotten to its highest peak, and it was high before, but it's gotten higher since having a child. And so it's, you know, and yet at the same time, you know, you mess up, and sometimes it's like embarrassing because the child is so smart and they call you on your stuff. And so it's just, it's absolutely been humbling, but in a beautiful way. And it's fostered not only so many blessings, but so much growth, you know, and I absolutely would not trade it for anything. And that's what I think is part of the juice and really understanding that, you know, if you just continue to nurture this and have that intention, even though it can feel like an absolute roller coaster, it's like what happens to your life overall is absolutely incredible. And like your life before it will pale in comparison to your life afterwards. So I would truly say humbling is the word.
And that is a great word. And I imagine that there are many, many parents who can truly relate to exactly what you're saying there. And, you know, just in follow-up to that, what has interacting with your child revealed to you about who you are as a person?
It's very funny because my son is so similar to me.
Poetic justice, isn't it?
Well, it's funny. You know, sometimes I blush just watching him do what he does because it's like I'm watching a little me. And so I'm not that bad, am I? I mean, he's a charmer. My son is like this incredible negotiator. I'm like, where is he getting this from? And it's you know, some of these things I'm sure he's seen, and some of it I'd say is just in the genes, and it's, I mean, it's really, again, it's hard to almost put in words, but I think the reflection that the child is has just enabled me to see, oh, just areas for me to grow in, funny habits or quirks in my own self, mm-hmm. The importance of being able to just, you know, come from intention and truth and be humble, be able to be vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I find that can be a difficult one, because sometimes we can tend to posture just because we don't want to look bad, even to the child. But
sure, yeah.
You really have to be vulnerable in all relationships in order to have the deepest level of connection. And you know, you have to have the self-esteem and sense of yourself in order to be able to do that. And so I would say the reflection that the parent-child relationship has given me has really just been in, like, just who I am on a lot of different levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, that's part of the humbling experience.
Yes, and it's that willingness and openness to be able to look in the mirror that your child is and recognize, oh, that's, you know, that's a fun, quirky way that I am. You know, here's an area where I might need some growth, and to really be open to that message that comes from your child.
Yeah, on a lot of, I mean, because they... You learn as much from them as they learn from you. I mean, and it's in ways that you wouldn't expect. I mean, I remember my son, he couldn't find a car that he wanted. And, you know, I went in the closet, and he has a basket of like, oh, 100-something plus cars. And I turned the basket over so I could help him find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the car, and, I put the car aside. And a few minutes later, I asked him, you know, I was like, clean up the mess, you know, go ahead, clean up the basket and the cars and, you know, go ahead and fix that mess. And he's like, the mess, Daddy? I'm like, yeah, Daddy, fix the mess. He's like, hey, Daddy, who made the mess? And I was like, Daddy turned over the basket, but Daddy was just helping you. He was like, well, who made the mess? I was like, well, Daddy made the mess. He's like, so shouldn't you clean the mess, Daddy? And I just, like, what can you say to that? I mean, it's so right. And it's like, you know, and it was just one of those moments, you know, and he's so smart. So, but again, that was a humbling moment. And yet it's very funny, because if you take yourself too seriously while you're parenting, you won't be able to enjoy those juicy moments. And there's so many of them. It's that's part of the joy and the richness of being a parent, being a dad, if you embrace it from that standpoint.
Yes, and you made a very good mention of how humor can really lighten up, you know, the seriousness of parenting. I mean, the process of people making, of parenting, raising kids, is, you know, a very important role and an important process. And there is a lot of humor and a lot of fun and a lot of joy to be experienced from that, too. And, yeah, they're brilliant, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, it's like when you – it's like you understand that your life is like a walking sitcom.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. I'm going to have to quote you on that one because that's so true. Well, you know, going a little deeper, too, you know, as you reflect on your parenting experience, what has parenting touched in you that may not have been accessed before from your other life experiences? But, you know, what is parenting touching you that's never been reached before?
Well, I think what it deepened was a desire to grow. Like, I was already hungry. I was already into self-development. I was already rather ambitious. But it really had me raise my game with having a child, just because the responsibility... Mm-hmm. that I saw that went with that. And, you know, I really look at my legacy on this planet. You know, we're here for such a short time. I wanted to not only be like, you know, just a good businessman or a great businessman in that way, but I really want to be a phenomenal father or a brilliant husband. And those roles require you to constantly evolve and expand. And it's not like I didn't know that before, but when you're in that situation, if you really embrace that, it lights a fire under you like that can surprise you. And for me, it absolutely did.
Mm-hmm.
And it deepened, that's the word I would use,
yeah.
The hunger to be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really gave me the extra emotional oomph and those emotional roots that you need to have in order to move through the necessary or the normal resistance that comes up when we're looking at expanding. It's like
mm-hmm.
suddenly it was easier for me to go the extra mile even further than I had in the past with pretty much everything that I was up to, because I understood that that's part of the legacy that I'm leaving for this child and that I'm building here.
Mm-hmm.
And
wonderful.
So, that, you know, to me, in a nutshell, it's like the ultimate motivator.
Yes. Yeah, it's really seeing how you're not only raising your game, but also how you're being a model for your children and how this just, yeah, again, takes it to the next level.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Okay. And as we think about our children, there are some times that despite all the wonderful, empowering lessons that we, you know, we inspire them with, occasionally our children say and do things that we're like, where did you get that? Like, where did that come from? that kind of frustrate us as parents who are so committed to growth and so committed to success. So would you share with us what type of things does your child do that kind of pushes your buttons and maybe frustrates you as you really strive to teach success and empowerment?
Sure. Well, I think my son, he's extremely bright. He's very, very smart. And his mind works very quickly, and
mm-hmm.
he's very verbal, and a lot of his expression comes through his words. And because he picks up things, you know, sometimes the words cannot always be the nicest words, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so if he's using something that's a little sarcastic or if he's using something that's, you know, maybe challenging someone or has a tone that's, you know, not the warmest, then that can be a little disconcerting as, you know, as a parent. And I would say, you know, in those moments, those are the times where I notice for myself I have to kind of just take a moment to center myself and understand that, you know, even though you do everything that you can to set a good example and to, you know, put the child in the optimum situations to learn and to model, you know, they still have their own personalities.
Yes.
And they're still their own they're still their own people, so to speak, and
mm-hmm.
There has to be an understanding that they're going to be who they're going to be. So it really is a balance between setting that example and also having some level of detachment, even though we want them to be a certain way, that, you know, you have to understand that they're naturally going to develop into, you know, what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that you have absolutely no control over, even though you would like to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be a hard part about being detached, that in those moments it's important to remind yourself of.
Yeah.
Because if you don't remember it and you don't ever reconnect with, okay, well, you know, they're still their own person, and let me just kind of let them know the best way to say this, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, things will go along as they will, then the whole process can be a lot more frustrating.
Yes, yes.
You know? And I think in those moments we lose some of the lightness of being.
Hmm.
And you always want to maintain that lightness as much as possible, because that's the point where it's easiest to teach. That's the point where
yes.
It's easiest to go with the flow and make the adjustments and, you know, have that balance. And ultimately, I think that's the only way you can really be the most effective parent. At least that's been my experience.
Mm-hmm. So wonderful. You have your son is picking up a whole wide range of communication styles and skills.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And is learning, you know, the context to use that and to use those different tones in a way that's supportive. And, you know, for a kid that's still learning kind of the social framework for, all right, here's where I can be a little bit more intense or a little bit more sarcastic, or here's where I pull it back a little bit. It sounds like, you know, he has a wide range, a wide repertoire of communication tools to use. And occasionally it can be frustrating as he pulls it out at the wrong moment.
It absolutely can. And at the same time, it can be equal, you know, just as funny, too. You know?
Yes.
It's like when I'm with clients, I live on the phone. I mm-hmm. live on the phone because I'm always working with my clients or connected with my coaches or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like any child, my son will want attention. So, I mean, he said stuff like, Daddy, what are you doing? I'm like, Daddy's on the phone with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, I think that's enough clients for you, Daddy. I mean, it's like, where did you come from, this little three-year-old being telling me this? But, again, it's part of, I also try to have in perspective that, you know, you only have these moments for but so long. They go so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I can't believe, and you hear parents say it all the time, oh, you grow so fast, and, you know, it was just yesterday. But it really does move that quickly. I mean, they do grow that fast, and you're not going to always have them and be relating to them in this capacity,
mm-hmm.
you know, forever. There's going to come a time when you're going to look back on those moments where you got frustrated and just so cherish and almost miss those moments. So
mm-hmm.
I try to have that perspective so I can enjoy them and be present to them now.
Yeah, exactly, because it is but the present moment. That's all we have. And, you know, the children have just wonderful developmental stages where they will uninhibitedly say whatever comes to mind and come up with some really, you know, witty things to say, and
yeah.
just cherish that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So as you reflect on your experience as a parent, what would you say is the greatest lesson that you learned from parenting that you can apply to your life or business more broadly?
That's a great question. I think the understanding that you will always have to correct and continue.
Oh, hello. Yes.
You know, because whether it's with business or whether it's with parenting, if you have a rigid viewpoint or your rigid lens or rigid way of looking at how things absolutely have to be, at a certain point, then mm-hmm. there's no flexibility in how you're able to move in and out of different situations. And if you don't have flexibility, you really can't grow because
mm-hmm.
you're saying that, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be, this is the only way, and I'm not saying that you can't have standards with or intentions as to how you want to serve or a lesson you want to teach or something like that. But there needs to be, in my experience, flexibility as to how you approach it, because a lot of things that we'll try, especially initially in both areas, parenting and business, will not work.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And if you're open and flexible, then I find that it's easier for you to make the adjustments so that the universe can show you a better, more effective way to realize that same intention.
Yes, and that's great. And being able to make those adjustments, being able to be open to whatever that next step is, and also be flexible with changing conditions, because as children grow, their routine changes, their development changes, their skills change, and keeping the same strategy becomes outdated very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I mean, our kids, you know, there's a saying that nature has its own timetable, you know, and our kids are the part of nature. And you have to, sometimes it's a little different from what we may think, and that can also be the case with business.
Yes.
You know, like, oh, this is supposed to have been there by such and such a time. Well, that may be the intention, but there are probably some things that you need to adjust so that you're able to have that level of a business. You're not, something is not a match yet. And, you know, if you're flexible, you can make that adjustment more easily.
Great. Excellent advice. And kind of turning that around also, you think about the kids and how you want to leave a legacy, how we definitely want to teach them and empower them. What would you say is the most important lesson you've learned about success that you want to pass on to your kids?
Oh, boy. the most important, that's a hard one because there's so many. I mean, if I had to narrow it down, I would say always listen to your intuition.
And why would you say that? Yeah.
Well, there's so many other things that stem from that, but the reason I would say that, if I had to narrow it down, is because in order to listen to your intuition, you must be connected to your source. You know, that source, that God-like energy, spirit energy that we always have. And it, to me, I would say that's God talking to us through us. And it's always giving us guidance with every single decision, from, you know, what we're wearing with clothing for the day, to who we're doing business with, to where we're going for vacation. And the name of the game, as far as life is concerned, I would say, is to fine-tune your ability to listen to that intuition. Because the more you do, the more harmony and flow you experience in life in every single area. The more successful your business will be, the greater your relationships will be with your children, the happier and more fulfilled you'll be, the more you'll be in alignment and in integrity, because it's like when your spirit tells you to do something, you won't second guess it, you'll just do it. And once you've committed to it, you'll follow through on it. And so to me, everything basically stems from honoring that one principle fully, you know, and if you do that, then you're congruent, and if you're congruent, then you are an opening to receive all the abundance that's naturally yours anyway.
Okay, that is so powerful, wonderful lesson to impart to the next generation. Fantastic.
It's also a challenge, too. I would just throw this in, Sherlyn, you know, because I understand that listening to your intuition is easier said than done. It tends to be what I say, like, three main challenges with listening to your intuition. And the first one is, quite often the intuition can whisper. You know, it doesn't always say, do this. It's not always blaring. Sometimes it's like, do this. And you're like, what? What did you just say? And so we have to kind of quiet the mind in order to be able to get in touch with it, in order to hear it. The second challenge of listening to your intuition is, in order to do that, you have to be willing to go against the good opinion of the tribe, as Wayne Dyer puts it. You know, and there's a good opinion of other people, and sometimes those other people can be family members, spouses, you know, friends, business partners, etc. And you still have to be willing to trust, even despite what other people might say, because, you know, in my experience, your intuition always knows. We only really get in trouble when we don't listen to it. And the third challenge is, quite often the guidance that the intuition is giving you is going to be asking you to leap out on faith, because you may not see the end result that's going to come from it. And it might not seem like the most logical, rational, or practical thing to do. But if you understand that every time you don't listen to your intuition, it kills your trust in yourself, it kills your energy level, it makes you tired, it kills your self-esteem, and it blocks off your good. And yet every time you do listen to your intuition, your life ends up being the adventurous miracle that it was meant to be. Then it really gives you the wherewithal to practice strengthening this ability, because that's where the juice is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you elaborated on that, Cabral, because, yes, we've heard it before, listen to your intuition, pay attention, follow your intuition, but to really recognize that there are some challenges involved with that and what it takes as a person, you know, to follow through and to really take that principle to heart and really honor it. That's huge. And
yes,
to make a big,
absolutely.
Big difference, again, in our children's lives. The question just comes up, how would you teach that to a child? Because I know that children are already so uninhibited, they're already so close to source, that they're just moving with it all the time. And it is often our work as parents to really preserve that more than anything else.
Yes.
How would you do that, or what kind of environment would you create to really support and foster honoring your intuition?
Sure. Well, I'd say two things. One, you model it by living it in your own life, because the child will see how you just follow what speaks to you, and it'll see how you process, and it'll just pick up things even if you're not telling the child what you're doing. So
okay.
One, you model it.
Yes.
And then number two, you do also teach it. So like me personally, I do a lot of inner work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my child, like my son will see me, you know, Daddy, you meditating? And I'm like, yes, Daddy's meditating. I'll meditate too. And he'll come and sit down. And I think you know, help the child to cultivate those tools.
Uh-huh.
And the third thing I would say, Sherlyn, is it's also a case-by-case situation.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's like the child is, you know, a little torn or not sure, you can ask questions that can help the child get clear about, you know, what feels like the best fit, the best way to do it, and why.
Okay.
And I think the combination of those three help to strengthen that, you know, for modeling, asking questions, and teaching the tools.
Yes.
I would say those are the three.
That's great. And especially as parents get so caught up in telling this is how you do it, telling you exactly what to do, how to do it, and by asking questions, that really opens up the possibilities for, you know, not just the child, but, you know, as you ask questions of yourself, it promotes being in touch with your intuition. So thank you for that great advice.
You're welcome.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely, because the more the child feels a part of the decision-making instead of, you know, just being talked down to or told what to do,
mm-hmm.
The more they will be in touch with that sense of self.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Excellent.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's a huge shift for parents. Parents often just want to give a quick answer and get it done. And
that's right, because I said so.
Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how we're.
But part of it is the parent honoring the child's intuition also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
So, you know, just as we wrap up in closing, this has been so wonderful. And I just wonder, Cabral, what other last bit of advice or information would you like to share with parents? How would you, is there anything else that you would like to share with parents in terms of your success principles,
well,
how you've lived your life, and how you've done your parenting?
Well, I would say, you know, you really want to truly honor and love yourself as a parent, you know, and do it at the highest level and have that love for yourself be unconditional.
Hmm.
You know, because you cannot give to your child, you cannot give to your business what you don't have. And so that's part of why the growth and the development, self-development is so important.
Yes.
But, you know, even in order to develop yourself and to grow yourself, the foundation of it has to be with love.
Hmm.
You know, so to me, the way I translate that is you have to be able to understand that you are worthy and deserving of the best that life has.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that you have to do in order to prove that worthiness. There's nothing that you have to accomplish in order for that to happen. but it's just your birthright. And so in every way, on every level, you just want to think, you know, only the best for me, for my family. And as you hold yourself to that standard and, you know, constantly look to fine-tune your skills and be patient with yourself, and when you fall off course, make the adjustments, but not out of a place where you're beating yourself up, but truly from love, then it's really the best way to not only strengthen yourself, but to be able to be the greatest parent and the most successful business person as well.
Yes. To really have that love for yourself that you can give to the people in your home. And, you know, that brings up just one side thought that I was thinking of. And there are many parents out there who get discouraged. They may not be holding these principles or even aware of these different principles that they can use, and they get off track and they get discouraged. What advice or what type of encouragement would you have for parents who might really be negative about their parenting?
The first thing I would say is they need to work with Sherlyn. The first thing I would say is they need to work with you.
Okay.
I mean, you know, and I'm serious in a lot of ways, because it's like, another success principle is successful people have strong teams, okay? And no man or woman is an island, you know? It's like I have multiple coaches and people who are in my circle of support, and my circle of support is always expanding. You know, I wouldn't be able to be the businessman, the parent, the husband that I am if I didn't have people who were experts at those things, constantly giving support and guidance. And so even though a lot of these things I've learned myself, I've been able to apply them and also get different input to take it to a whole nother level as a result of my support system. So my answer would be to those parents, not only be patient with yourself, but you absolutely have to expand your circle so you have people who are strong in the areas that can enable you to really get the most out of yourself. Because if you think you're going to do it alone, it's like you're shooting yourself in the foot. And it doesn't matter how good or talented you already are. We all need additional people on our teams to strengthen us. And so, yeah, I would say, you know, to work with people like Sherlyn, et cetera. I absolutely think it's vital.
Well, thank you for that, you know, that perspective. Because so often when parents struggle with their family life and their parenting and dealing with their kids, often it's a behind closed doors kind of situation. You know, they don't want to let people know that they feel so frustrated or discouraged at times. And it can be that way with success in their business as well. Everyone's so concerned about keeping up appearances and looking like one big happy family even when things are falling apart. And by really having a circle of support that is interested in your highest good, in your best, and also working with experts that bring that much more to the table, it's a way to really change your game. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know, it truly is. Like if someone on this call is challenged with their situation, you know, it's like expand your circle. Work with Sherlyn and see, you want to work with someone who's modeling what a successful relationship or business, et cetera, could really look like, and someone that is powerful in that area. And so, you know, you do that as well as anybody I know. So it's like, you know, it's so important to have that mindset, because most people just have the tendency to think, you know, look, I'll just do it on my own. I don't need anybody else. But it doesn't mean that you're dependent. It just means you understand the success principle of, you know, the more powerful your team, the greater your results.
Excellent. Again, yet another gold nugget of wisdom. I appreciate so much, Cabral, your time, your willingness to participate in these conversations with successful business dads and powerhouse dads and parents who are listening, who are really interested in how do I create the life that I want with my home life and merge that with my business and make this happen. So I really appreciate your willingness to share your wisdom with us, Cabral. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was my absolute pleasure, Sherlyn, anytime.
Awesome. And so I wish you, Cabral, and your family continued and abundant success, much joy in all of your endeavors. And in closing, you can reach Cabral at his website, inneraccess.net. Be in touch with him. He's a fantastic resource to you as parents, inneraccess.net. And I thank you very much again, Cabral, for your time. And to all the parents striving to be the parents of and people of your highest and noblest aspirations, I'm honored to contribute to supporting you in that endeavor.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You take care, and we'll talk again.
Hey, you do the same. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.